Well, hello once again. Let us begin our time right at the outset with a prayer to our holy and righteous God. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God that Thou art, I give Thee thanks and praise, Lord, for who You are, and for what I have become because of who You are. O Lord, thank You for Calvary. Thank You that Your Son, Your only begotten Son, willingly went to that cruel cross and paid a price that neither I or anyone else could pay. Thank You for the salvation we have through His precious shed blood. Bringing forth this message today, I pray that You will give me utterance. And I pray, Lord, that those who are listening, that they'll not have any difficulty understanding what is said, Lord. And when all is said and done, that they'll be glad they listened in. Thank You for the Just Jesus Radio Network, Lord. Thank You because they really do a good job at glorifying You, Lord, through all the messages that come forth and all the hymns and praises that go forth to Thee, Lord. And that's a good thing. Help us to understand, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be pleased in knowing that we are pleasing Thee, Lord. That's so important. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, the name I've given my message today is, if it's new, well, it's not true. Now, you might right away jump on that and say, well, that's not exactly the truth. So there's a non-truth right there. We're talking about the Word of God. Now, if the Word of God is new, as you perceive it, then it's not true. You see, nothing has changed that has come out of the mouth of God. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all true. But it's not new. It's not. Okay? Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, I want to start there. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Okay, let's open with that verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. We read, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Have you got that last line there? There is no new thing under the sun. There isn't. God prepared and made everything. Okay? Now, no new sun? No new moon, no new way to the Father. Excuse me. They got that? No new sun, no new moon, no new way to the Father. No new scriptures and no new evangelicalism. If it's new, the rule of thumb is, it's not true. If it's new, it's not true. Old things shall prevail. Yes, they should. People, you know, we're not talking about apples and oranges here. No. We're talking about the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word. It never changes. It never changes. You pick up your King James 1611 Authorized Version Bible and you look at it any page you want and you put it aside when you're finished and then tomorrow you pick it up and you look at it again. It's still the same. That's not what you can say about many other so-called Bibles out there. People contradict. People say, well, I don't know. That's hard for people to understand. That's hard to absorb. So they'll change it. They'll make an addition or they'll delete something in the Word. God is not pleased. God is not pleased. You see, we're not talking about apples and oranges. We're talking about the truth of God's word. The truth. It never, never changes. It was, is, and ever shall be settled in heaven. Settled in heaven. For the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth. Purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. How long? Forever. The Authorized 1611 King James Bible. Update it. Twist it into the New King James Bible? No way. Now, if we are to declare the whole counsel of God, we cannot mix and match. We can't. Yes, we are to compare Scripture with Scripture for learning purposes, but only within the true context of our living God. Have you got that? Only within the true context of our living God. By the way, did you know that there are over 400 versions of the Bible at last count? Why? Why is that? Well, could it be because somebody is looking to make a quick dollar? Oh, hey, they'll like this one better than that translation. Making a quick buck, eh? Realize that the human brain functions. It functions better when it is well oiled with easy believism. Easy believism. You know what that is? Well, it's easy to believe. That's not so hard to understand, is it? People like to read a Bible that speaks in their language so they can understand it. They don't want to have to study it. They don't want to have to open a dictionary or go to a concordance. They don't want people to have to explain it to them. They want to see it at face value and say, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense, yeah. Sure, some of these Bibles, I'll tell you, they're so contrived and they just don't make any sense at all. How's a guy supposed to know what to think? Well, get saved first. Get saved. And the Word of God will come alive to you. And pray. Pray that God will give you an open mind to what He's trying to tell you. Pray that you will understand what He's saying. It'll come alive. It'll come alive for you. It will. You know, another name for easy believism, well, you guessed it. It's new evangelicalism. New evangelical. You heard it before, haven't you? Sure you have. Putting love before sound doctrine for the sake of fellowship. Putting love before sound doctrine. Doctrine. Oh, how sweet is thy fellowship when you attend a new evangelical church that features a rock band and a light show while the preaching of God's word is secondary. Been there? Oh, I have. Just so I know what I'm talking about. And if I personally walk into a church and I see a set of drums on the platform, guess what? I walk right out again. Right out! They have no drum, no place. No place in the house of God. Romans 16, verse 17 comes to mind. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine ye have learned, and avoid them. See, a lot of people will go down as far as the doctrine ye have learned, and put a period in there, but they will not go any further and say, avoid them. No, they won't. Because they can't handle it. They can't handle the truth about God's Word. Now, before I go any further, allow me to make this perfectly clear. I am not saying that all new evangelicals are lost and perishing. I'm not saying that. No, 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 no. What I am doing is giving you cause for alarm and concern. That's what I'm doing. Giving you cause for alarm and concern. Now, there's an ugly flag of compromise flying over the house of new evangelicalism. An ugly flag indeed. I know of what I speak, for I did a tour of duty under their fickle flag of deceit. I've been there and seen it firsthand. So I know indeed what I'm talking about. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Huh? You can't. They can't at all. For sooner or later, their beliefs will falter and be swallowed up in the compromise they are stricken by. Their beliefs will falter and be swallowed up. 2 Timothy tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. A fellow once asked me my definition of compromise. Well, the answer was simple. Compromise is simply meeting in the middle. Meeting in the middle. When two opposing forces decide to break bread together and bury the proverbial hatchet, then all you have done is drawn a line in the sand of compromise so you can both swim at the same beach. And where there is compromise, then there is infiltration. Infiltration that allows both sides to set their own standards. Then there cometh confusion. Oh, what a word. Confusion. Are you confused today? You might be by what's going on in the world. The situation is dire indeed. After confusion, then there's doubt. Doubt. Ooh, what a nasty, nasty word that is, doubt. And then comes the final application. Division. Division. Where there is compromise, there is infiltration. Infiltration that allows both sides to set their own standards. Then there cometh confusion. Then doubt. Then division. Tell me, can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, the Bible says no. All you can do, actually, is tolerate each other until one side or both end up in the apostate cemetery. In the apostate cemetery. What does God's Word say about all the teeter-tottering within the new evangelical camp? Huh? Well, the answer is found in 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, verse 6. Listen carefully. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. We command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the key word here? That ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. In other words, come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out from among them. Do you know? Can you identify such people if you were in their midst or they were in your midst? Not an easy task sometimes. We put on the same smile. We seem to think the same thoughts. But when we open our mouths to speak of the Scriptures, we fall flat on our so-called spiritual face. It's not an easy task, especially when you have your arms around them. Oh, brother, so nice to spend time with you again. Oh, it's been a long time since we've been apart. The Word of God tells us to, what? Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will receive you. That's not me saying that. That's the Word of God. The Word of God tells us, come out from among them and be ye separate. Or are you still hanging on there in the midst of things? All the chaos, all the calamity, all the contradictions that you can think of, why your Bible is not as good or better than mine? Well, that's why we have prayer. That's why we're told to pray without ceasing. Touch not the unclean thing, and I, the Lord God, will receive you. You see, when you're supping and playing bingo, when you're supping and playing bingo with those you think are brothers in Christ, well, you'll not only see the error of your ways. In fact, you won't see the error of your ways. The error of your ways, pardon me. Not when you're fellowshipping and supping and having a merry old time. You'll not see the error of their ways. If your church has movie nights and plays bingo so they can sweeten their coffers, then accentuates their preaching with special effects, then you may want to redefine the sign on the door that reads, House of God. Oh, yes. Have you not heard that there's nothing new under the sun? Or if it's new, then it's not true? New evangelicalism says, who? Does your church practice infiltration instead of separation? Does your otherwise mean compromise? Has your honesty turned to apostasy? Huh? Tell me. When six-day creation is replaced by the theory of evolution, then it's time to wake up. Wake up. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Guess what? The Word is still God. Have you got that? The Word is still God. It's not changed. New evangelicalism is it's the great soul killer. That's what it is. It's the soul killer. It's unscriptural. We must guard against it at all costs. It is a disease of the mind and of the heart. So, how do you recognize new evangelicalism? Two words come to mind. Feels good. Feels good. God didn't give us the scriptures to make us feel good. He gave us the scriptures to help us understand who He is and what He expects from us. Have you got that? Feels good. Beware of the warning signs, for they may not always be obvious. I know we can be hoodwinked pretty fast if we're not always alert. When people come at you with scriptures that you may not have heard in a long time, and yet you look in your Bible and it says something different. Is it not time to go to the Lord in prayer? Oh, I would think so. At least to go to somebody who knows and understands the Word of God perhaps more than you do. Beware of the warning signs, for they may not always be obvious. Be sure that when you're witnessing for new converts, that you don't tickle their ears with a lot of compromise. A lot of compromise. Be truthful. Be faithful above all else to God's Word, or the results will eventually return to you void. Void. For what you win them with, get this now, what you win them with is what you win them to. What you win them with, the Word of God, is what you win them to. Do you meander? One Bible, one word, one salvation. One Bible, one word, one salvation. When I preach at the seniors' residence here in my home state or hometown, I have one major thought in mind. When I see all those aged, sad, lonely countenances, the faces that look at you for some sort of spiritual hope, that want to hear something that's going to put new life into their perhaps dying souls. I have one major thought in mind. Salvation, salvation. That's what it's all about. Their salvation. Salvation has to be the main theme, or else they may go to bed that night still not saved and not wake in the morning. These elderly folk, for the most part, are at eternity's door. They're right at the door. I must look upon every one of them as though there was no tomorrow. No tomorrow. Now is their appointed time. And being a senior myself, well, I know what's running through their minds. I can relate. Three things I must always do when I'm preaching to the seniors. Three things I must always do. Give them the gospel. Make it clear and simple. And identify with them. They got that? Have you got it? Give them the gospel. Make it clear. Make it simple. and identify with them. So they'll be drawn into your conversation, your thought pattern. Pardon me, there's one more very important requirement. Usually it only applies at a senior's residence. Keep them awake. If they're not awake, they're not going to hear. And if they don't hear, tomorrow may not come to them. Keep them awake. Oh, yes. Be sure to keep it brief. And before you leave, take their hand gently in yours and ask a very simple question. Do you know that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? Do you know that if you died tonight, you would go to heaven? The response you most likely get is, I hope so. Or, I think so. Assure them, using the Word of God. Using the Word of God. 3:16, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the bottom line, isn't it? That's the bottom line. They have to understand it. They have to receive it and understand it. Well, I'm going to close with prayer, and I ask you to please keep in mind what has been said here today and use it. If it's beneficial to you, and I pray that it is, when you talk about or witness to precious souls about Calvary, about Jesus, tell me. O Heavenly Father, God of all direction and truth, fill my heart with wisdom so that I may be a good servant. And the hearer may fully understand that we serve only one God, a God who is not willing that any should perish. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and ask these mercies. Thank you for listening. Amen. And Amen.